since Nehemiah to the birth of Jesus. Scripturally, this has been called the silent period. God was silent for 400 years. But history continued marching on. There was the occupation of the Persians. Then there was the occupation of the Greeks. And now we have those friendly Italians called the Romans occupying Israel. What you want to, I want you to understand is that this passage, Luke 1, in this particular passage on Zechariah, is a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament and our future. Reading from the Message, which I like in a sermon situation because it has a punch to it. During the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned service in the regiment of Abijah. His name was Zechariah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. So we have somebody of some significance. Now, you have to recognize that there's twice a year this group would go to Jerusalem and do the priestly duties in the temple. There would literally be hundreds of priests coming every 2 weeks on the process of doing the duties at the temple. Together, Zechariah and Elizabeth lived honorably before God. And hear these words that are in Scripture. Carefully in keeping to the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. They lived honorably before God. In effect, they were faithful and sincere in keeping God's ordinances, God's laws. That's what was expected of them. They would follow the law and all that that meant. So they were living honorably. Now, unfortunately, they were childless. Elizabeth could not conceive. And now they were quite old. It so happened that Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment. It came his turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. So he's one of hundreds of priests that come to Jerusalem twice in a year. There is an exercise where it is required for the burning of incense before the Holy of Holies. He doesn't enter the Holy of Holies. He comes in what is called the Most Holy and burns the incense. The rest of the priests, the rest of the people who have come to the temple are outside of this area praying. And they are praying what we would recognize as their daily prayers. Each and every Jewish person would have to say a morning prayer and an evening prayer that coincided with the temple. They would start off from Deuteronomy and say, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Notice the pause. In the Hebrew tradition, you do not refer directly to the of God, the name of God. They would give this prayer in the morning, in the evening, and then it also grew in Jesus' time that there would be a 3 o'clock prayer. So the Jewish people would have these three prayers through the day. They would start with that saying, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then they would give 18 petitions, standing. They would petition, grant us knowledge, understanding, and intelligence. Lead us back to thy Torah. Bring us near to thy service. Cause us to return. forgive us. Look upon our affliction, fight our fight, redeem us speedily. Heal us from all wounds. Bless this year and all its yield. Blow the trumpet for our liberation. Gather our exiles. Restore our judges. Establish our innocence. May no hope be left to the slanderers. May all thy enemies be cut off. Grant mercy for the elders, scribes, house of Israel, and righteous proselytes. Build our temple strong. Cause the horn of David to sprout and bring victorious salvation. Hear our prayers. Grant peace, happiness, blessing, grace, loving kindness, and mercy upon us and upon all of Israel, thy people. Bless us. That was said in the morning, at 3 o'clock, and at sunset. So Zechariah would be going in burn the incense, standing before the Holy of Holies, and then the people would be reciting this daily prayer outside. Now remember, this is a bridging passage from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So these are all practices within the temple. And if there's some biblical scholars here in your Sunday school and everything else, where does the temple of God reside in the New Testament? Right here. Right here. So, Zechariah was in the temple conducting the incense burning, and then an angel showed up. Unannounced. An angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. So what's the opening line of an angel? Fear not. Don't fear, Zechariah. It's the opening line of every angel. And then the angel says, your prayer has been heard. What prayer? Was it the prayer for Israel? Was it for a child? Well, they're old, but maybe there was a lament. He's not asked to pray in the most holy. He's asked to pray incense, burn incense. It's the people outside doing the 18 petitions. So what is the prayer? Now remember, we're bridging the old to the new. And where the angel goes on to say, Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy, and not only you, but many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. He'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah, soften the hearts of the parents to children, and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. This is the angel saying that to Zechariah. So what does Zechariah do in response? Do you expect me to believe this? How can this be true? Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is old. Like Abraham, like Gideon, like Hezekiah, Zechariah is asking for a sign. Sorta. His style is a little aggressive. In effect, he's defiant. He's refusing point blank to believe the angel. Okay. He's struck, paralyzed, fearful. The angel tells him of all these wonderful things that are going to take place. And the best that can come out of his mouth is, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? Now, if you jump ahead, when this same angel sees Mary, she too asks a question, but it's very different. How will this be? Now, do we have a male-female thing going here? The guy's sort of standing up to the angel, and the woman's complaining. No. You see, Zechariah was a priest. He was honored in his community. He would go to Jerusalem. He lived close to Bethlehem. He would go to Jerusalem twice a year and perform some duties at the temple. And that year, by drawing of lots, he gets the most honored position that he could ever have, is burning the incense in the most holy place. The burning of the incense symbolizes the prayers of all the people of Israel. Maybe that's what the angel was talking about. The actual burning of the incense symbolized the prayers of all the people. So the angel was saying, your prayer has been heard, Israel. And this is how I'm going to go about answering them. Now, signs bring faith to where it is wanting. Signs bring strength where it is needed. And unfortunately, signs also are arguments to overcome unbelief. Zechariah is demanding a sign for his doubting, his unbelief. So what is the angel's reaction? The angel said, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent specifically to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day your son's born. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. In looking at this passage, in recognizing the bridge from the Old Testament to the New, we have to recognize that Zechariah had been going through the motions, had been honoring God, but he had arrived at a place where he had depersonalized God. You remember from your Bible studies in your Sunday school when Moses first encountered God at the burning bush, and when God would meet with Moses, and finally the people said, you go meet with God, that's too much for us. You go talk to God and then come back and tell us. Remember how he had the veil? Remember how he encountered the person of God? And the people said, that's just a little too much. So you go do that and you come and tell us that. Fortunately, unfortunately, we can get into some wonderful biblical exegesis on this, but Zechariah, I think, saw God as an idea. I think he recognized that God was a force in the universe. That he thought of God only through dogma. That he held respect for God. He was in consideration of God. He studied God. But little in his thoughts of God was personal. He burns the incense. Meanwhile, the congregation is waiting for Zechariah. Now they were getting restless, wondering what was keeping him so long in the sanctuary. When he came out and couldn't speak, they knew he had seen a vision. He'd been in there a long time. He comes out. I can believe that he doesn't look like... He's terrified. He's frightened. He's challenged God. God responded. Boom! He comes out. They knew he had seen a vision. He continued speechless and had to use sign language with the people for the rest of the 2 weeks he was in Jerusalem. Time of reflection, time of thinking. Now remember, when he was coming out, it was Zechariah's responsibility. Oh, I didn't mention this. When Zechariah burns the incense, the people say the prayer, the person burning the incense comes out and goes to, we call it Numbers 24 to 26, and the words he says is, the Lord bless you. No, a correction. This is how he would say it. The bless you and keep you. The make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The turn his face towards you and give you peace. He wouldn't mention the word Lord or God or Yahweh. So he comes out speechless. He comes out changed because he had encountered an angel who was a person who stood before God and came with a message for the people of Israel. When the course of his priestly assignment was completed, he went back home. And I love this little video clip. It wasn't long before Elizabeth conceived, and she went off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. And I love Eugene Peterson's words here. So Elizabeth is saying, reflecting on it, meditating on it, so this is how God acts to redeem my unfortunate condition. She, yes, is contemplating the birth of a child, and an incredible child that would grow up to do incredible things. But let us take that line into our own lives, where God has acted or is acting or will about to act in your life. I look forward to the time where you'll say, huh, so this is how you're going to do this, Lord, and redeem my unfortunate condition. You see, it's not a question of how can I be sure, which Zechariah was calling out, or how can we be sure, or how can you be sure, in an Old Testament concept. Zechariah did not have a personal relationship with God. We make this bridge from the temple that was in Jerusalem to the temple that is in us. We take this messenger of John. We are moving towards Christmas. We are moving to the person of God. So how can you be sure about your relationship with God? One thing. Make it personal. And there's a wonderful debate and discussion of philosophy on the personhood of God. Put that aside. Come to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God in the flesh that came to us and changed history, changed the world, and wants to continue to change your life now and for eternity. Amen. I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward, and we will sing, We Have a Savior, most appropriate.